not direct. In India also, everything is very indirect. If you go to get something done, they will say, yes, tomorrow. It will be done tomorrow. Then you go back tomorrow. No, no, I said tomorrow. Because tomorrow never comes. So it's a very indirect of saying, no, I'm not going to do it. Actually, you find out, you keep going back tomorrow and tomorrow, finally you realize, it's not going to do it, is it? And then you have to go somewhere else. So this is a very indirect way of saying, I'm not going to do it. It's come. Come tomorrow. So Prabhupada, actually, he really liked Socrates. He said Socrates was a pundit. Because Socrates knew the difference between the body and the soul. He said, and he came before the judge, the just man. So here is some poison. Now we will see if you are going to live or you're going to die. You drink this poison. And then after you die, we will bury you. And so Socrates said, yes, I'll drink the poison. But first you'll have to catch me, and then you can bury me. Because he knew the soul is eternal. So Prabhupada liked to always give Socrates as an example of a pundit, one who knows the difference between the matter and the spirit. So what were Arjuna's arguments? One argument was, he said, O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by disciplic succession that those whose family traditions are destroyed will always kill. So he was quoting the Shastras, pretending to be a pundit. I have heard from the Parampara that this is what happens. I do this fight, it will be sinful. And Srila Prabhupada said one thing he didn't know. The Shastras say, if you take care of this body, you're no better than a cow or an ass. A cow or an ass. So there is a very nice verse in Bhagavatam, Yasyamabhuti Kunape Chitaske, that this body is made of three things. Kapha, Vata, and what's the other one? Pita. Pita. Yes. Fire, mucus, and air. So when these things are imbalanced, then we get disease. So when you get older, like my age, you get too much vata, too much air. So you're always, it's very difficult to land, to ground yourself. So Arjuna, Prabhupada actually said Arjuna played the part of a gokara, a cow or an ass. He's playing the part of one, pretending that he is identifying his body as himself. So therefore, he required instruction. So Srila Prabhupada said, this Bhagavad Gita, this is the only book that is teaching the cows and the asses how to be human beings. So that's why the first thing Krishna says is that you are a fool. You are a cow. You're an ass. You're no better, actually, than a cow or an ass. So Srila Prabhupada, he took the example of Pakistan and India. In India, some people are saying, Pakistan is our enemy. We don't like Pakistan. And in Pakistan, some people are saying, India is our enemy. We don't like India. Because this is the bodily concept of life. The Prabhupada said, if they keep on meditating like this, oh, Pakistan is my enemy. Time of death, they'll be born in Pakistan. And if the Pakistanis are meditating, oh, these Hindus are my enemy, next life they'll be born as Hindus in India. So this is the result of the bodily concept of life. It's the opposite, actually, of what we want. So Prabhupada also always used to give the example of Russia. Professor Kotovsky. Very learned scholar, pundit. But was he a pundit, actually?
No.
Because when Srila Prabhupada explained, tried to explain to him the difference between body and soul, what did Professor Kotovsky say? He said, Swamiji, after death, it is all finished. There is nothing after death. So what was his education? He's a PhD. He doesn't know the difference between the body and the soul. So Krishna is first trying to remove this misconception of Arjuna that I am this body, and all these other bodies, they are my relatives, and therefore I should not fight. So the spiritual master has a right to chastise the disciple. Seneca Pandit is quoted by Srila Prabhupada that a son, a spiritual master should Prabhupada in India, it was quite different. I was in India since 1972, Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes their TVCs would vanish and Prabhupada would have to become the TVC of India. One time the TVC just left, so Prabhupada became our TVC. Sometimes he was our temple president, sometimes he was the accountant. And one time I remember in Vrindavan, he was telling me, you're wasting too much money now, you should buy in large quantity everything, like, don't just buy little every day, you buy ghee, you buy a lot of ghee, you buy a lot of nuts, like this. So then the disciples got the idea, okay, I'll buy a lot of bananas. I will follow Prabhupada's instruction to buy large quantities. So what happened? The bananas all got spoiled. So Prabhupada chastised him, he said, the reason you bought a lot of bananas is because you're a monkey. We know how monkeys like bananas. So, yes, when I was here in Radha Damodar, 1972, Prabhupada was giving Nectar of Devotion lectures. So Prabhupada was sitting over here, and we were sitting here in his room, and he had bananas at his feet. And what happened? A big monkey ran in, and grabbed the bananas, and ran out. Prabhupada said, see how intelligent that monkey is. You would never dare to do something like that. No, he wouldn't. So, yes, the monkey is intelligent for eating, so we should not have that kind of intelligence just for eating. So Prabhupada also described one time he was chastised by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He was sitting in the class, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking, and he became very angry because one man tried to talk to Srila Prabhupada in the class. And so Prabhupada was listening and talking back to the man. And so Bhaktisiddhanta got so angry. He was calling him all sorts of names, fool, rascal, this, that. And then he chastised that man, who was a Jewish man, and who was giving donation for the temple. He said, you have purchased us by your donation? You can just talk anything you like. You don't have to listen in class. So that was when Bhaktisiddhanta chastised Prabhupada and this man. So also Prabhupada with Shruti Kirti. There's many nice stories of how he used to chastise Shruti Kirti. One time Shruti Kirti was giving Prabhupada massage. So first on the head he would put the sandalwood oil, and then on the body the mustard oil. So he was doing the massage on the head, and then mustard oil was sitting here, and the cap was off, and Prabhupada had always told him, keep the cap on the mustard oil. But unfortunately, he didn't keep the cap, and he knocked over the mustard oil, and Prabhupada got furious. And then Prabhupada bent down, and he was taking all the mustard oil, scraping it off the floor, and putting it into a cup. And he said, use this for my massage. He didn't like to waste anything. So then he said to Shruti Kirti, you will become intelligent when you're 80. So he was so angry. And then Shruti Kirti was thinking, oh, I'm getting offense. What should I say now? What should I say? So then he said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I thought it would take much longer than that. So Prabhupada thought that was really funny. And he laughed. He said, yes, when we were young, we used to tell each other, you will become intelligent when you're 80. So that was one time. And another time, Shruti Kirti, he was cooking in the kitchen, and after Prabhupada's breakfast, he had put Prabhupada's orange. Prabhupada ate the orange and spit it out. Then he put it inside the garbage, which was in the kitchen where he was cooking. So Prabhupada said, this is lacha. You don't learn anything. Why do you put this garbage when you're cooking? So then he was yelling, he was shouting, and Shruti Kirti just said, I just better be quiet because it's better I don't say anything. Then after a while, Prabhupada said, you're no fun. You never fight back. Shruti Kirti couldn't win. Either one way or the other, he would get it from Srila Prabhupada. So Arjuna was being chastised here. I also got chastised by Srila Prabhupada one time. Two times, at least. And Prabhupada, when I was Pujari in Calcutta, and Prabhupada, he was very, not fanatical, but very careful about cleanliness in the deities. So one time, he came and he said, he looked at the ghee lamp. We had this big ghee lamps because the lights were out most of the time, so we were burning big ghee lamps. And he said, why is this ghee lamp dirty? Who has done this? I was thinking he should have said, who has not done this? But actually, when he's angry, you just want to disappear, but you can't. stay there and take chastisement. And another time, it was reading the daily time, and we were, Prabhupada came for darshan, so we had to open very quickly. And we had some doors, wooden doors, and we had some curtains. So normally, we open the wooden doors and clean underneath, and then open the curtains later. We didn't have time. So we just had to open the doors, and underneath the doors were three rose petals. And Prabhupada was so angry. He said, "This is so dirty. Who has done this? Who has not cleaned three rose petals?" And my husband went up and he said, Prabhupada said, "Why is it like this?" And my husband said, "Negligence." That made him more angry. Negligence. So anyway, we used to get the chastisement. And some, it's like soft, hard like a thunderbolt, soft like a rose. And so, but then he was also very soft with us too. So then there's the other side. And since today's class is about chastisement, I'll just speak about chastisement. So Arjuna had a misconception. And it wasn't so much the misconception, but the fact that Arjuna was being a hypocrite. He's believing himself as a Brahmin, but he was not acting like a Brahmin. So that's why he was being chastised. If you are speaking like a pundit, and you're not behaving like a pundit. So how many of us speak like a pundit and behave like a pundit? That's the test of our speech. So it is said that you should, a Brahmana, he says what he thinks. So whatever he's thinking, he says, and he does what he says. So there's action, there's word, there's mind. So if they're all together, you're wrong. Now if you think one thing and say another and do another, then you're not wrong. So that's a test. Whether your mind, your words, and your actions are all in line, and then you're pundit, then you're wrong. So Arjuna was trying to convince Krishna by arguments. And here in the purport it says, he argued religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology. So what does that mean? That means there's four principles. There's dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So dharma means religious principles. Artha means for economic development, or politics also, how to make friends, how to divide, how to influence people. That's artha, gain, economic gain. And also politics is artha. And there's kama in that sense clarification. And then there's moksha. Moksha is for the Brahmins. The Brahmins should lead people in the path of moksha. The Kshatriyas, they're supposed to be dharmic. They're supposed to follow religious principles, but also artha and kama. They also learn politics, they learn artha and kama. And the Vaishyas, they're into artha. That is economic development for kama. And the Shudras, for the Shudras only kama. That's all. They're not so religious. There's no non-rules, except the only thing the Shudras have to do is get married, and that'll be good for them. Now we see around the world now, they can just get married. But of course, even that they can't do, because they get married and then they have divorced immediately. So much divorce. In fact, now they make the agreements before the marriage, how we're going to divide everything, if you get a divorce. So that's terrible. This is what's happening now. So Arjuna, he's arguing the level of dharma. Dharma certainly is higher than artha and kama, but if you forgot about moksha, you forgot about even higher than moksha, it is Krishna consciousness, it's Krishna kama. So he forgot about that. That Krishna is there, he's standing there, and he's the highest. And because, of course, he had friendly relationship. Now he accepted Krishna as guru. So therefore, the friendly relationship is gone and it's becoming serious. So here he's talking about grief, worthy of grief. So there's two things that everybody does in this world, hankering and lamenting. So Prabhupada makes the point that while this body is moving, everybody's hankering. If the body stops moving, then people start lamenting. So Prabhupada gives the example of shirt and a hat. I give a snap. So now the hat is moving. So very nice. It is alive. The body is moving. It is alive. Now you take off the hat, it's not moving. Now we lament. The hat is not moving. Or we take off the body, we lament. The body is not moving. But it's the same dead body. We don't realize it. The only thing that is alive is the soul. So the body is moving, we're thinking, yes, why? It's alive. No, it's dead. It's a You don't realize it. As Bhagavatam, second canto says, it's just flapping for a few days. The body is flapping for a few days and then it's gone. So, it's a lump of matter, but we don't realize it. If somebody dies, then we see. Then we can see more clearly. Prabhupada gives the example, your father died. So here's your father's body. There's your father. Why are you lamenting? Here he is, as you always saw him. But what's the difference? Well, now he's not moving. Right. That's the difference. So that means you never saw your father. You only saw the body. You only saw the shirt and the pants. You never saw your father. You don't know what he looks like, really, because he was covered. So this is what Arjuna doesn't realize, that these relatives, I think they're this body. I think they're related to me, but actually no. No, they're spiritual. So Krishna is trying to elevate him to this spiritual platform. And he's trying to elevate us too, because we also hanker, we also lament. We go through these things, the modes of nature. As devotees, we go through this too. So one time Bhagavati asked Prabhupada, I don't know if I said this in the last class, but anyway, it came to my mind, that, you know, the modes of nature, it seems like, you know, we're spiritual, we're trying to take up spiritual life, but it seems like I'm affected by the modes of nature, even though I'm a devotee. The modes of nature are affecting me. Why is that? Rashi Prabhupada said, yes, well, you're above the modes because you're in the boat of transcendental knowledge. You're on the way, you're on the path. You're on the spiritual path, you're doing devotional service, so you're on the boat. But sometimes there are storms on the boat, and sometimes the boat starts rocking back and forth. So these are the modes of nature. Sometimes you even fall over on the boat. These are the modes of nature. He says, so how can we be steady on the boat? And that is if we take shelter of the captain of the boat, and that is the Guru. And we see how, and he will teach us how to steer the boat through the modes of nature. Because we're going to have to learn that as long as we're in this world. We're devotees, and the modes are there. And as long as we're not 100% surrendered, we will be affected by the modes of nature. As soon as we are completely surrendered, then Krishna says, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. So, I'd like to read something from Srila Prabhupada about this topic. He says, Vartaniya Pethimare Cheche Shavai Kutumvaktiya Harabhan Chalai. See, I'm penniless. Everyone has now abandoned me. My own family, my other relatives, and even my so-called friends. This situation is indeed miserable. But it simply amuses me. I sit alone and laugh. In this mundane material world, who are my loved ones? Where are my affectionate father and mother gone now? And where are all my elders and other relatives who were my own folk? Who will give me news of them now? I ask you, tell me, who? All that is left of the so-called family, the list of names. And someday will be a list of names, will be a person on a list of names too. We'll just be one of those people. 200 years from now, who's going to remember us? Who will know who we were? Just think, 200 years from now, will anybody know, or will we will just be one person? Okay, Prabhupada disciple, this one, out of 5,000, here's one, here's another one. List of names. What does become that? So, in the meantime, you better do something. What to do? What to do? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also chastised by his spiritual master. Guru Marae Murpadyati Parinashan. My guru has chastised me as a fool. And this was when he was talking with Pakshinanda Saraswati. Pakshinanda Saraswati was a learned sannyasi, and he was asking Lord Chaitanya, why don't you study Vedanta like the rest of us? You're a sannyasi, we're a sannyasi, we're studying Vedanta. You're just chanting and dancing like a madman. And so Lord Chaitanya said, his guru told him, I'm just following instructions of my spiritual master. He said, Murkha to me, tomar nahi Vedanta tikar. Krishna Mantra Chakra Shara, Devi Mantra Shara. You are a fool. You have no qualification to study Vedanta. Krishna Mantra Japa Shara, Devi Mantra Shara. You just chant Krishna Japa because this is the essence of all mantras. Hare Krishna Mantra. the essence of all the mantras of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the mantras of Bhagavad Gita. Now, in the class, in the temple, they're talking about Devahuti. And it's the 33rd chapter. It's the last chapter. So we heard all the Sankhya philosophy, very complicated, yoga, Sankhya, this, that. What was the conclusion of all those chapters? All those 8, 9 chapters on Sankhya Yoga, what was her conclusion? Her conclusion was, Aho patasvapachato kariyam yeji bhage bhakte namatubhyam jikvastapaste jivashashtaravya pramanjanamakinantinete. Her conclusion, after hearing the whole Sankhya philosophy, was, those who are chanting your holy names are the most fortunate. Even if they're born in the family of a svapacha, dog eater, they have already done all pilgrimages, they have studied the Vedas, they have gone to all pilgrimages, and they are Aryans. They have the behavior of Aryans. So this is the wonderful thing that we've got from Srila Prabhupada. He is not showing us the way. We're all fools. We deserve to be chastised, no doubt. But instead, Prabhupada is mercifully uplifting us and he's giving us the holy name. So I'd like to read a couple of verses glorifying the holy name. This song is called Harinam Vivekevalam. Abrahma Samba Paryantam Sarvam Maramayam Jagat Satyam Satyam Puna Satyam Harinam Vivekevalam. The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, again I say reality, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is given. So how can it be we have this whole huge world? The only reality is the holy name? Yes. Because the holy name is Krishna, the holy name is Radharani, and it includes all living entities, it includes all these energies. So that's everything. What more is there than Radha, Krishna, and all the living entities? So when we chant the holy name, we directly contact the reality that is Krishna. So now it is Kartik, it's Radharani's month, and today is also a special day, so I'd like to talk a little bit about the holy name in relationship to today, Rasa Leela. And we studied Rasa Leela last year in our Bhakti Dance course. So when Krishna came to dance with the gopis, he left them in the middle and he showed his opulence of renunciation. So after Krishna left, then the gopis went crazy. And they first started inquiring from the trees, have you seen Krishna? From the creepers, where is Krishna? But have you seen him? Nobody would answer them. So finally, they started imitating Krishna's pastimes. So this was a higher level of madness. And finally, they came to the highest level of madness where they said, I am Krishna. They were so connected with Krishna that they forgot their own identities. And after a while, they came back a little to consciousness and they started chanting. And what did they chant? Srila Prabhupada says in Krishna book, they all came together and they started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Radharani's mantra. It is the method of worship of the gopis. When we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we're following in the footsteps of Radharani and the gopis in their worship of Krishna in separation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us separation from Krishna. So how do we get solace from that separation? We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his earliest lectures on the holy name, he said, first we say Hare. Hare means Hara, Mother Hara, Radharani. We're calling to Radharani, please help me. Please take me to your Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, Mother Hara will help us. She will take us to Krishna if we chant very sincerely. So we chant Hare Krishna, calling out for the mercy of Radharani. Then she will take us to Krishna. This is Radharani's month. Everything we do in this month is 1,000 times more. And 100 times, in Vrindavan it's 1,000 times more. And Kartik is 100 times more. So if you chant the holy name, then you will get 100,000. process like method. So this should be our main Dao in our Chichan, the holy name. Following in the footsteps, especially today. Today is also Ras Lila, first day. Actually, it's not the only day. It's just the first day. It starts today. And we learned in our Bhaktivedanta that it continues every night. For Kartik at least, every night there will be Ras Lila. Krishna will be performing Ras Lila with his friends. And we can also remember Krishna and the gopis by chanting the holy name. So there's hope for us if we just take what Srila Prabhupada has given us. We chant the holy name. Hare Krishna. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions? Comments? Devotee's distress, or others distress. Right. Yeah. Okay, so his question is that Vaishnava is compassionate, he's feeling distress when others are distressed. So how does that correspond to a pandit doesn't lament? Yes. Okay, so one point is that you can remember Pallava Maharaj, where he actually mentioned that point. He says, I do not lament. And I do not lament for myself, actually. So the pandit does not lament for his loss or his gain. He does not lament for if he loses someone or he gains. He does not lament in that sense, according to his personal, but for others he laments. But he does not lament the loss of the body. He laments the loss of their Krishna consciousness. That is lamentation of the Vaishnava. Because he understands that the cause of all suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. This is the ignorance is the cause of suffering. So his lamentation, Prahlada says, is that I don't want to go back to Godhead myself. I want to take all these fools and nestles with me for making their material plans, carrying the burden of material plans. I want to take them back with me. He's not saying, okay, it's too bad, you know, this one got a scratch, this one got his hand cut off. He's not lamenting like that. He's lamenting for the cause. So there's so many hospitals to take care of the rest of the things. But who is lamenting for the separation from Krishna? Who is lamenting for, you know, that we're in the prison? That we're all in the prison. Other people are lamenting, oh, in the prison, he got cut, he lost his hand, he lost his foot in the prison, but who's lamenting that everybody's in the prison? Everybody's not in the spiritual world, but Krishna has been happy. So that is his lamentation. That's real distress. And that's the cause of all distress. It's just separation from Krishna, forgetfulness. When we forget Krishna, when we suffer, when we remember Krishna, then we're happy. And that's why the pure devotees, they always pray, please just let me never forget you. Srila Prabhupada, he had a prayer to Supersoul. Srila Prabhupada said, my prayer to Supersoul is this, you can make me remember and you can make me forget. But my prayer to you is, please let me always remember to chant the holy name. That was Prabhupada's prayer to Supersoul. Let me not forget your holy name. So that is real remembrance. That is real happiness. Because when you remember Krishna, when you serve Krishna, then you're connected with Krishna, and then you're connected with the reservoir of all pleasure. And so the devotee, he laments that all there is in this world is the jiva and the holy name. So he wants to connect the jiva with the holy name. He wants to connect the jiva with Krishna. Because then he knows they'll be happy. He sees that everyone is... Actually, nobody's disconnected, but everybody thinks they're disconnected. And they're trying to be disconnected. But nobody's disconnected. We see when we're in Maya. Maya means what is not. So what is not is that somebody is disconnected from Krishna. That is Maya. Or we see disconnected from Krishna. That's Maya. So in order to actually remove that, Krishna is removing that misconception. You're seeing separate from me. You're having a separatist, a dualistic vision of of life. Seeing is relative, separate, but my vision is different. I want you to steer to be the king, and you have to fight for that. I've already done it, will you just be my instrument? That's all. Any other questions? Yes. Chastisement.
Even in the bewilderment, even in the 11th chapter, it came back.
he said, oh, please forgive me for the friendly relationship. But then it did come back after. That's the difference between Arjuna and Yashoda. Yashoda saw the universal form, but she just said, okay, just don't do it again. Don't eat that dirt again. She just forgot it immediately. Arjuna took a while to forget. But she just didn't faze Yashoda. Yeah, okay. She thought maybe, you know, it was some hallucination or dream or... Anyway. She chanted mantras to protect Krishna, you know. Universal form will come in his mouth again. That was, it's different, Ross. Now, Arjuna, yeah, he'll get his friendly relationship. Okay, remember, what happens after the Kurukshetra? Yeah, they're still, you know, like friends.
Did we all think of Arjuna?
Friend. Yes, okay. He's okay. Now it's a temporary one. Okay, any other? Well, we started late, so we can have a few more questions. Because, by the way, class starts at 5 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, class is finished. It starts at 5 o'clock from today, for those of you. It's the winter schedule from today. It starts at 5 o'clock.
Everything is happening
on the Yeah. So now the TVs will be closed. There will be RT at 6:30 and Dhammadhar at 7. So any other one last question? Yes.
People eat dogs.
People eat dogs, yes. Yes. In the Philippines? And
Thailand.
In China? Yeah.
Thailand.
Yeah, everything. I was just talking. Yeah, there's a story about some couple who brought their pet dog into, they went to a restaurant and they said, please watch our dog, but they wanted to eat the dog, and they fed their pet dog.
Yeah.
Yes, here's your dog. We took care of him. Anyway, yeah. Oh, yes. Soul takes the demigod body. Soul goes to that body. And if your mind is Krishna conscious, you will not take birth again, and you will develop your spiritual body and live eternally with Krishna.
Of course, I have done everything in the world with the time of death. I said, what was
the time of death?
And what is going
to be? Yes, you may forget. You may forget. But Super Soul doesn't forget. You might forget. Super Soul won't forget. And the devotees, they may forget the time of death, but Krishna doesn't forget. The devotees. So even we may forget, and we may be put into forgetfulness or motivatedness. Because Krishna is taking account. Prabhupada said that Yamaraj makes an account for the non-devotees. And Krishna makes an account personally for the devotees. So he has our accounts. His time of death will say yes. He's mine. For Prabhupada. He's Prabhupada's. Stay with Prabhupada. Then you're sure. You may not get in the front door, maybe in the back door, but anyway, just stay with Prabhupada. He belongs to Prabhupada, yes. Let him in. We have to know somebody up there. Need a recommendation. Otherwise, you'll be born, and if you're in goodness, as a demigod, in passion, as a human being, in ignorance, as an animal. That will be, Krishna will explain the nature of the soul in this chapter. What is going to be the fate of all the devotees who are hearing Bhagavad Gita? Well, you're only in the second chapter, so wait till the 18th and then you'll find out. Krishna said, you surrender to me, I will take away all your sinful reactions, and you will come to me. You say, oh, Manla, Bhagavato, always think of me, call my devotee, worship me, offer obeisances, and you will come to me. I promise you this without doubt. So if you hear Bhagavad Gita and then take the instruction, Savadam Vikaja, and you follow the instruction of Krishna, you will go to Krishna. That would be your fate. So you better stay for the whole 18 chapters. It will take another year or two, right?
Yeah, over a year.
Over a year, okay? So
not only once, but
yeah, you need every day of it. Because you remember when you're sitting here, and after you go out, you forget. You will forget what I said today, tomorrow, tonight you will forget.
Krishna will teach the same thing again and again.
Because you keep forgetting it.